Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from the NIV version, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12, and then picking up again at verses 17 to 24. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this: the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." Moving to verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it."
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you, bringing another talk, another message to you via the internet. And again, I'm risking the garden. It's getting colder, but I'm still coping. Last week, and this week, and next week, we're in Luke 10. It's a beautifully rich chapter that just speaks to us of what church might look like in 2020. And I would encourage you to read it through the week, you know, to dip in and out of it and just see how God speaks to you through it. Last week we had the Good Samaritan with Lyle. This week we have Jesus sending out the 70 or the 72, depending which version you're reading. And next week it's Martha and Mary. So do read the chapter over time. See the themes that are in there, excuse me, that we would want in White Inch Church. Last week, we had the challenge to love our neighbours, regardless of who they are or how costly that love might look like. It might be messy, it might be unsafe, and indeed take us to costly places. But actually, looking after people we maybe wouldn't choose to love. And this week, we're going back to the beginning of Luke 10 and the call to go out into the world. And here we see the missional aspect of the church going out into the world and demonstrating Jesus' love for us. Now, this is Heather and the children's last official Sunday with us in White Inch. Ben, Heather and family have heard the call to go. And Ben in particular will have had that call confirmed in various ways. By scripture, certainly, by trusted leaders and Christian friends who know them very well, and also the church too, maybe dreams, maybe visions, prophetic words. This will all have built up to be a significant call to lay down all that they've done in the past and step out into new pastures with a new flock. Now, this is a major, it's a once-in-a-lifetime call, and it involves all their family. And it's been a lengthy process, 4 years so far, but the final chapter to this, leading up to the call to a particular church, is now looming ahead. This is the right move for Heather and the family, and our role is to bless them and to release them into all that God has for them. I guess the people I'm talking to now will all know Heather much better than I will, but she's served here as an elder and on the leadership team since last summer. And Heather, like many others in the church, has been wonderfully supportive of me over the past year. And I know from the many stories of her reaching out into the community, using her prophetic gifting, discipling others, and helping them develop their prophetic giftings too. I've watched how her creativity has enriched the worship life of the church and how God has used art to reach out to those who don't know Jesus. There is much to give thanks for. There's much to pray for as this new chapter starts. And I will be praying for the Thorpes at the end of the session. But I want to say that everyone is invited to join in tonight in the church prayer Zoom at 8 o'clock for a time of open prayer. Now, this is something Whitehinch does really well. You gather around folks, you lay on hands, you pray your best prayers. Or maybe you sit in the congregation, you stretch out your hand and you add your amen. And we want to do that for Heather tonight and the family. We haven't yet done it by Zoom, so this is a first. It might feel a bit clunky or you might feel a bit awkward. You might not enjoy Zooms at all, but I want you to put all those thoughts aside and just come along tonight, join in, even if your video stays on mute the whole time as you deal with your family. Just come along, add an amen and encourage Heather on her way. So hope to see lots of you tonight. So that's what go looks like for the Thorpes. But for the rest of us, it might be very different. Go, I am sending you out. The absolute number sent out here appears to be 72 or 70. Excuse me. I think the more reliable Greek transcript suggests 72. So I've gone for that version. But either way, it's a great number to be sending out into the world with the message proclaiming peace and that the kingdom of God has come near. That is amazing. Just imagine being one of that group. The excitement. You've heard Jesus teaching. You've watched him proclaim healing and deliverance from demons. And now it's your turn. The anticipation. Here we go. We have watched the Master. It's our turn. And where would they all go? To the same place? I guess not. That's a waste of resources. And actually, as I was preparing this talk, Psalm 37 came to my mind. Verses 4 and 5 says this: take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. I wonder, did that scripture cross the minds of any of the 72? Take delight in the Lord. Follow him. Let his desires become your desires. Commit to him and he will give you that which your heart desires. Follow him. Follow him. I had a boyfriend at uni who had a Honda 50cc. And on only one occasion, I rode pillion, I rode in the back. I'd never ridden behind someone before, I'd never been on a motorbike before. And that was pretty obvious, because at the first corner, as Paul leaned into the corner, I moved the opposite direction. I tried to straighten the bike back up by leaning in the opposite way. Paul pretty quickly stopped the bike and gave me a lesson on riding pillion. And accidents were averted after that. Still, leaning into the corner felt strange to me. Jesus calls us to follow him, to lean in the same way that he does, to move in the same way, at the same speed, to try not to control the path ourselves, but to trust him who has the steering wheel, to yield to his directing. His heart must become our heart. And as we read through the Bible, we see over and over and over again God's heart for justice, for the orphan, for the widow, and for the poor. Now, I was told this last week or so that there are some folks out there passionate and wanting to reach out to particular groups of people in White Inch. I want to hear about it. Tell us about it. Speak to each other. Speak in your life groups. Speak to the leadership team. Let's see what we can do. The world desperately needs innovative thinkers in this corona era. It needs folks able to change plans quickly and with flexibility as government regulations seem to change with the wind. It needs folk adapting social media even to advance the kingdom of God. So where did the 72 go? I imagine a few will have had real hearts, maybe for the children running around the village, and will have reached out to them and their parents. Some of the 72 may have turned to remote shepherds because that was their own background, and they will have brought the good news to remote pastures. Others will have spoken to fishermen friends. Others will have reached out to next door neighbours, next villages. The 72 will have gone to many different places, each bringing their own particular story of what they had seen Jesus do and of what Jesus had done for them. And they will have prayed. They will have healed. They will have cast out demons in Jesus' name. Now, some may have had better results than others, but all that matters, what matters is that each of the 72 played their part. Where's God calling you? Because the call to the 72 is the call to each one of us as well. It might mean you connect with Well Fed, now known as the Unit in South Street, and support them in their work. I happen to notice they're looking for drivers for their vans just now. Maybe that's for you. Maybe it's getting involved in one of the local schools in some innovative online capacity. Maybe it's contacting Healing for the Heart and seeing how you can serve that team. They're seeing a rise in referral for the service, yet it has been accompanied by a fall in regular donations. Is there an online group you could contact or connect with and serve in some way? Or maybe you're called to serve your children or an unbelieving spouse. A neighbour, maybe. And I trust that God will urge us to pray too, because actually without the intercessors in the background, in their private place of prayer, well, we need them to spiritually stand alongside us. Blessed indeed are the intercessors. Try something. Ask God, gently push on a few doors and see what happens. What is your heart's desire? Where is your heart? Look at those areas and just see what happens. Actually, I do acknowledge that not every door will open, but that's not what it's about at this stage. It's about getting out there, about going. I'm sure you'll all have heard the news about the frightening, but the not entirely unexpected, rise in COVID in Glasgow University Halls of Residence. I have some links to the university. I wrote to the university chaplain, offering help supporting students. I connected with a group, a student Christian movement, and I connected with the secretary of the Christian Union. Actually, that happens to be my daughter. I took her out for lunch. That wasn't difficult. And I connected with some staff at the university. Now, other churches may actually have found a way in there to support. I have to say, I didn't. Instead, I heard that university staff were being asked to volunteer, and that's perhaps reasonable that they want to control the numbers of helpers around the infection hotspots. And so for me, in the past week, I'd like to have come with a success story, but the door remained closed. And perhaps my call in this example was to offer to help, and then pray. Don't be put off by what feels like failure. This isn't a school test. This is us trying to discern God's call for us as individuals and as a church. Now, I know some of you have increased your online presence and you're engaging more in the public arena of social media, and I'm going to come back to that. So, Jesus says, "Go, I am sending you out." He says that to the 72. We can feel the anticipation until he finishes the sentence. "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Wait, what? We're like lambs among wolves? That's hardly something that wants to entice me out. That's hardly a meeting of equals, lambs and wolves. Now, actually, lambs aren't known as the most intelligent of creatures. And yet, if any of you have spent any time in the countryside in the spring, watching lambs in a field with their mothers, you'll know lambs wander. They start frolicking with other lambs. They race around the field. And then suddenly there's this realization, "Oh, I'm not with my mum anymore." So they all simultaneously start bleating, and their mums start bleating in response, calling them back. And there's this whole wild bleating thing going on. But in the midst of the mayhem, the lambs run in all directions, the mums lumber around. And in the middle of that, the lambs recognise the call of their mums and head straight to her. They recognise the baas of their mum, and they seek it out. They discern the right source amidst all the distracting noise. And so, yeah, I think we can learn from lambs. Now more than ever, and particular for those who engage in reaching out to others on social media, we need to recognise the voice of the Father and stay close. These are days where there are many competing voices, and that absolutely includes the baying of the wolf. Some of those voices are political, and some are sadly Christian leaders. Beware the wolf. Just because a voice is really loud, or you hear it constantly in our media, do not let it become the main message that you hear. It is only by remaining close to the Father that you recognise truth from lies. And as Christians, we have a responsibility too. Look at the articles that you share on social media. Know their bias. There's a website I have used quite a bit, Interactive Media Bias Chart. And it's given us an example of media from all around the Western world being placed on a bell curve. The left side, those placed on the left side, and those on the right, straightforward enough, it shows left-leaning and right-leaning media. Now, that's something to be aware of, but it's not a problem in itself. The important one in the bell curve, the way they draw it out, is the y-axis, the up and down axis, because that is where they plot the reliability of the source. From those who choose to report facts, to those who give opinions, to those who give incomplete stories, right down to fabricated information. My friends, discernment matters in these days. Truth matters. The telling of lies matters. Now, this point that I'm making isn't for everyone out there, but it is for those of you who engage thoughtfully and carefully on social media. And for those who do that, bless you and I thank you. Or for those who tackle racism on our buses, bless you and thank you. That is important kingdom work right now. I have watched some of you lovingly take on some argumentative people and hang in there with grace in a way that I don't know that I could. But I just caution you, choose your battles. Watch your mental health. Be prepared to walk away from it when you need to. And as a last resort only, would I suggest shaking the dust off your feet, as Jesus says in this passage we heard today. God loves even the most argumentative friends that we have. And actually, speaking of our mental health, we can't pour into people's lives while we have holes in our own buckets. You and I, all of us, are constantly, we're still adapting to Corona times, to the constant changes in our lives. And plus, of course, we've got stuff from the past that is still there bubbling around. And I am really pleased that Shona Sterling has agreed to take us back and lead us through the emotionally healthy spirituality material in our next coming up sermon series, which will start on the 18th of October. Shona, Andy and I are going to form the basis of the preaching team to work through the material. I hope Andy won't mind me saying, but he and I will be led by Shona's vast experience in this area, and we will be learning and be being taught by her as we go. As I said, that starts on the 18th of October, and I'm very excited about that. It'll be different from before, but we'll pray hard for God to be speaking into our current situation as we prepare, both in terms of the vacancy and the limitations on our meeting, and that God will be bringing healing and hope where it's needed. Now, there also will be a change to the life groups. Instead, there'll be a midweek, a Wednesday meeting hosted by Claire Young. So we'll all gather, for those who want to attend and sign up, gather and one main Zoom, and then she'll organise breakout rooms to give us time to just chat through and discuss the teaching that we've heard the previous Sunday. So look out for that. So back to our passage. I've covered one verse so far, so hope you packed a lunch, guys. Now, our services, I think you'll all see, are becoming more of a place to connect with God as a church family and to connect with each other. Our worship times are shorter, but for those who engage through worship, the prayer Zoom offers that opportunity to go deeper in worship. And my sermons are shorter too. And it may be that those of you who wish to go deeper, go through the various groups in the church, maybe the men's group or a life group, or actually you just connect with a friend who also has that same desire and you chat through passages together. That might change though, we might run things differently in the future, but as time passes, we watch, we look at what's happening, and we do our best to connect with as many folk as possible on Sunday. Do hang in there with the church and with each other. Keep persevering, I want to encourage you. So I'm not going to speak any more about the passage now. There's definitely room to do plenty more talking about it. But I do urge you, think and pray about how you might be called to go out from this place. Speak to your flatmates, your friends, your life group, the men's group, the leadership team, and just see where God might be calling you. Amen. Can you hear the birds? I think it was said of St. Francis of Assisi that he used to preach to birds. That's definitely what I'm doing just now. What I'm going to do now is to pray for Heather and the family. So let's close our eyes and pray together. But just a reminder that I would encourage you to come along tonight at 8 o'clock for a bit of a blather, and then to let's pray for Heather and family. Let's pray together. Father, we give thanks for the Thorpe family. We give thanks for their long ministry here over the years. Stuff that some of us know about, but you know all about. We praise you and thank you for their faith. We praise and thank you for their obedience and for them taking this next step in obedience to the call that you've placed on their lives. We pray for what the family will be doing as they witness, as they teach, as Ben preaches, as they provide pastoral support. We pray for the church that you are calling them to, that you would even now be preparing their hearts and minds to receive Ben and family. And we pray too that you would be preparing the Thorpes for the next place that you have for them. We thank you, Lord, that they love you. And we pray that that love will continue and deepen through the years. We pray that they'll continue to study your word, that you will give them a strong prayer life, and that they will continue to be filled with your Holy Spirit. We pray the Holy Spirit would empower their ministry. We pray for good health for them. We pray for safety, for stamina, and for a sense of priority actually amidst busy and hectic schedules. We pray against discouragement, loneliness, and depression. And we pray too for their family relationships, for Ben and Heather, and for parents with their children. We pray for the spiritual growth of the children, for their health, for their education. And we pray, Lord, and give thanks even in advance, knowing that the Thorpe family will provide an excellent model for Christians. They will show Jesus in a good way wherever you base them. Lord, we send them out. We release them, knowing that they are secure in your hands, knowing that we send them out, yet continuing to love and pray for them. Bless them now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.